This is lesson TB3. The title of this series that we're on right now is called The Prayer of Faith, and this lesson is part two in this series.
Let's open our Bibles right away to Mark 11:24 again. Who remembers what we're talking about?
Prayer.
We're talking about prayer. What kind of prayer? Anybody remember? What'd you say, Matt? Authoritative prayer. And specifically, authority prayer, I heard somebody say it out there, the prayer of petition or the prayer of faith. There's all different kinds of prayer, folks. I mean, there's all kinds. The prayer of intercession, the prayer of commitment, the prayer of consecration, the prayer of agreement, prayer of faith, prayer of, I don't know if I said consecration, but there's very many kinds of prayer, and they all have a little bit different things, scriptures that apply. Now, we're talking about the prayer of petition or the prayer of faith. That's a prayer primarily for yourself. Let's look at our main text here, which is Mark 11:24. Now, Jesus is speaking here, okay? And the thing I always like to bring out is the fact that if Jesus was standing right here where I am, he wouldn't change a word of this. This is the way you pray, the prayer for yourself. Now, if we're smart Christians, we'll kind of learn from this and say, okay, what's Jesus trying to say here? Let's apply that in our own prayer lives. And I'm really learning a lot in just preparing these lessons. Okay, he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever that you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now there's a world of things in there. And as you meditate on this particular scripture, you're going to find more and more. Now what's Jesus saying here? Okay, what's our part in this thing? What is he saying? First of all, who's this prayer apply to? How do we know that? It says what? That what things soever you desire. What things soever you desire. Now look at this thing. It says what things, he says first of all, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, you believe that you receive and you will have them. See, this is a prayer for you. This is a prayer for things that you want for yourself. You's mentioned five different times there. Okay, so this is a prayer for something for yourself. Now, when you're praying for yourself, there's one really strong thing that you can count on. You control everything in terms of the belief. Okay? When you're praying with someone else, you don't always have this advantage. There's someone else's faith that you're trying to pray with them. You've got to get their faith level up to the point where they can pray. But when you're praying for yourself, it only have to worry about your level of faith, okay? So things are under control. So it's just between you and God. You control your own destiny in this prayer, is what I'm trying to say, okay? It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Say, what's our part? Number one, what does it say? Figure out what you desire, right? What is it that you want? See, so many times prayer fails because we don't really know what we want. We're just in a heap of trouble or something, and we're just saying, God, help me. Well, when we're baby Christians, sometimes God will just bail in and help us. But God expects us to be a little specific about what we want. Remember the first lesson we had is, why pray? You know, Adam would have never had to pray in the first place if he hadn't messed up and let the enemy in. Now, the enemy got in. He had a chance to... Satan, you know, became the god of this world, as it said in 2 Corinthians 4:4. So now God is waiting to be invited back into our daily lives, so to speak, through prayer. And if you don't do these things, some of these things that God wants to do in your life will never happen. It's not because God doesn't want them. It's because we have never made it possible for God to get involved. That's what prayer does. Okay. So it says here, what things soever you desire. So first of all, figure out what you want specifically. To me, it helps to just kind of write my prayer down. If it's something really, if you're serious enough about praying, you ought to be serious enough about spending 5 minutes getting this organized in your mind, because you may be spending, after you've prayed, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 months, a year, sometimes before everything comes together, depending on what it is. And wouldn't you rather have all that time after you've prayed to know that you did it entirely according to the Word of God? That when the enemy comes against you, you can say, no, I prayed this way, I did this, this is what the Word of God says, and you can stand on it. If you don't, if you just fire off a quick prayer, a lot of times what happens, the enemy will wait a week, and he'll come in and say, well, you didn't say that, you didn't pray that way. You go, wait, did I mention that or did I not? Or, you know, yesterday when you were talking to so-and-so, your confession was, and you've negated the effects of your prayer, you know. He'll use all kinds of things to try to get you off that prayer. So let's see what he says here. He says, what things soever you desire. So first of all, figure out what you desire. Secondly, when you pray, believe that you receive. Now that seems kind of simple in a way. But you know what? You better make sure that before you pray, you got both those things together. You figure out what you desire, and then figure out if that thing you desire, you can really believe that you receive when you pray. If you don't have both those things going, stop. Now, let me just say that again, because some of this I just got last night laying in bed, you know, in the middle of the night. You know, I never saw it quite this way. I'll say it again. There's two things here. Figure out what you desire. Then figure out if you can believe that you receive that thing when you pray. If you can't, stop. Okay? Stop right then. Because you're going to waste about 6 months of thinking you're standing in faith, or a month, or 6 weeks or something. It's going to be wasted. So do it right when you start. Get these things under control. So you think, well, gee, if I can't believe, I'm kind of up the creek, aren't I? Not really. Let's explain this, okay? Put your finger right here and turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now we're talking about the Lord here, and he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. What is that confidence, Lord? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now right there, your brain tends to want to stop and say, well, there's the kicker right there. We got to know what his will is in all circumstances. There's the way out. I see it. We're never going to be able to pray, do that. But think a second. God is saying, believe you receive when you pray. And then it's almost like he's saying, but it better be according to my will. But how in the world are you ever going to pray and believe you receive when you pray if you don't know what his will is? I mean, it's impossible. I mean, there's always going to be a niggling bit of doubt if you don't know what God's will is, right? So what is his will? Well, thank God he gave us the Word of God. In the Word, he lists his will in all kinds of situations. Healing is always his will. Never, any time, ever, when it's not his will to heal. His will is always to save, right? They come in the same package. Okay, so this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now listen to this. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that were requested of him. Okay, there's two things in here. What's our part? First of all, we need to pray according to his will. That means we need to get in his word and find out what his will is in the situation that we're praying for. You don't have to know all the word of God to start praying. If you've got a healing problem, get in the scriptures on healing. Find out that it's God's will. We don't have time to cover all those scriptures, but there's many scriptures that show it's God's will always to heal. That's God's will, okay? Just like it's God's will always to save. Another thing, it's God's will that you prosper financially. Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But you can't prosper or be in health any more than your soul, which includes your mind, is renewed in the Word of God, as your soul prospers. Okay, so we have to get our mind renewed in the Word. Okay, so the thing is then, what we have to do is to believe that we receive when we pray. So I start praying. Here's what I need. Father, in the name of Jesus, I need healing for my body in whatever area it is. Let's say, for example, okay, say it's my left knee that I went forward for the other day when we were here in church. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying about my left knee here, all right? I find in your will that you said himself took my infirmities and bare my sickness, Matthew 8:17. I see in your word that 1 Peter 2:24, that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I see in Galatians 3:13 that I was redeemed from the curse of the law. I say in Galatians 3:14 that I was eligible for the blessing of Abraham. Now, Father, in the curse of the law, it says in Deuteronomy 28:61, was every sickness and every disease, even those not written in the Word of God. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness. So, Father, your Word is clear. Sickness is not your will. Health is. Therefore, Father, when I pray for my knee now, or go forward for prayer or whatever, I know it's your will that my leg be healed because I have your Word on it. Now I prayed according to your will. See, I found his will. Remember that he said back here in 1 John 5 that we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have that thing which we've asked. Okay, so you've found out. Now you can pray in faith. Now you know what you desire. Now you know the scripture that covers the thing you're praying for. Now you're prepared, maybe, to believe that you receive when you pray. Maybe not yet. You know His will, but do you have enough faith yet to believe that you receive when you pray? Now, knowing His will is a large part of it, okay? But sometimes it takes a while to get that will down in your heart. What you know in your head now. You know it in your head, okay? You got to get it here. And I'll tell you how that comes. It comes through meditating in the Word of God. As you meditate on that scriptures or scriptures, something wonderful happens. Those scriptures that you only knew intellectually, you begin to know here. And once you get it down here, and it comes through meditation in the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no shortcut to faith. I remember when I first got into this thing, I thought, hey, I see the key. I'm just going to live by faith from now on. I make a quality decision to do that. I found that was a foolish thing to say. Faith doesn't come through making a decision to live by faith. Faith comes through hearing the Word of God and acting on it. So that's what we need to do. Okay, so here we got an ingredients for prayer. You find out what God's will is. Make sure it's in line with our desire. And then see if our faith level, because we're getting ready to pray now. And once we pray, that's it. For something for myself, the prayer of petition. There's other kinds of prayer, so don't get this confused with intercession or something, where it's more of a continuing prayer. But for the prayer of faith for yourself, you make sure you're ready to pray. Make sure the level, your faith is there. If it's not quite there yet, there's nothing wrong with, you know, going, maybe you go through pain for another few days until you get that scriptures, meditate on them until they get down in your heart. Now, I'll share something that's really neat with you. This is something that I've only picked up in the last 6 months or a year, and it really is a wonderful thing for getting those scriptures down in your heart. Pick a scripture before you go to bed. Say it's on healing, whatever it is. Okay? Maybe it's by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Start meditating on that scripture about an hour before you go to bed. Then as you go to bed, ask the Holy Spirit throughout the night to, as you wake up in the night, bring that scripture to you. And you'll find out you're waking up in the middle of the night with that scripture running through your spirit. You're meditating on it. And all of a sudden, as you go through the night, you're going to find out that you pick out things in there. You're going to see, well, first it was just by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. All of a sudden it becomes by Jesus' stripes. He took this thing. He already paid for it. You know, it starts to take a little different shape. I was healed. I was healed. I mean, I can't describe to you right here all the different nuances the Holy Spirit can put on one verse of Scripture in an evening, in a night that you're sleeping. And maybe do this for a week and pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is a wonderful thing. It not only, it doesn't give you faith. Faith only comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. But praying in the Spirit, Jude 20 tells us, builds us up on our most holy faith. That faith that you already have, as you pray in the Spirit, it builds it up inside, brings it to activating power. You've got the faith theoretically when you hear the Word of God, but as you pray in the Spirit, it starts that thing bubbling inside to the point where I don't care what it is, it's not going to take you, you know. And it's I haven't got time to get into it right now, but I'm telling you, this is a very powerful thing to do, is pray in the Spirit a lot. So I don't really have any more time, but just soak that in there. Let it soak a little bit. Whatever it is that the enemy's been running over you, find out what God's Word has to say. Meditate on those scriptures. Find out what you desire first. Then find the scripture that covers your case. Now, sometimes, I'll just say this very briefly. I don't have time to get into this tonight. What you're going to pray for, you may not be able to find the scriptures. Like, maybe I'm going to pray whether I should move to Warsaw from Duluth, Minnesota. Well, you're not going to find a verse that says that. But you can find a verse that says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You can find a scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You can find a scripture that says if you're a son of God, you're led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. So you can confess that you are led by the Spirit of God, and you can seek God's will in that, and He will bring it to you. So sometimes you can't actually find the verse, but as you seek God before you pray, He'll show you His will in a situation like that. Then you can pray in faith again, the same way you could before. So that's all we have for tonight.
So let's now go over the homework. First question, it's a true or false question. The prayer of faith is a type of prayer that you pray for someone else to receive something from God. Is that true or false? Well, that question, the answer to that question is false. Let me just quote now our text for the prayer of faith, which is Mark 11:24. And Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." So it's all about, as they say, it's all about you. So this prayer is a prayer for things you desire for yourself. And so the answer to the question, the way it's stated here, would be false. Next question. If I begin to pray for something I desire and realize I'm unable to believe I receive when I pray, I should blank. What would go in that blank? Well, the thing that goes in that blank is stop. Stop praying, in other words. If you begin to pray for something you desire and you then realize that you're not able to believe you receive when you pray, you should stop, because that is a requirement for praying this prayer. You must be in a position when you pray this prayer, the prayer of faith, and our text is Mark 11:24, you must be in a position that you can believe that you receive when you pray. Now, that isn't to believe that it's going to magically appear in your hand or something like that, but what it really means is you believe that it's all taken care of. Once you pray this prayer, your mind is at rest, you know you have a yes answer, and then the manifestation will take place. So you believe that you receive when you pray. So that's the answer to that question. Next question. Name three things I should do before I pray this type of prayer. And then I give you a hint to meditate on two scriptures, Mark 11:24 and 1 John 5:14 and 15. So what are the three things that those scriptures tell us that we should do before we pray the prayer of faith? Number one, we need to decide what we want. So decide what you want is the first thing that you do. In other words, Jesus said in Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire. So you have to desire something first. So the first thing to do is decide what you want. Number two, we need to find a scripture that promises the thing for which we desire. And you know, folks, really, for 90% of the prayers that we pray, that's not too hard. Healing is covered all through the Bible, what God's will about healing is, finances, marital relationships, raising your children. All these things are covered in detail in the Word of God. And it shouldn't be too hard, in using your concordance, to find a scripture that promises the thing for which you desire. That's the second thing. Find a scripture that promises what you desire. And number three, meditate on that scripture until faith comes into your heart. So the three things that you need to do before you pray this prayer is, one, decide what you want. Number two, find a scripture that promises the thing that you desire. And number three, meditate on that scripture until faith comes into your heart. Next question, true or false? The best way to get God to hear my prayer is by praying loudly. Is this true or false? Well, that's false. I just wanted to get your attention, though, because we're going to ask a very important question in the next homework question. So that answer is false. That's not the best way to get God to hear your prayer. There's another way that's a lot better. Okay, next question. How do I get God to hear my prayer? Well, the scripture we just talked about above, 1 John 5:14 and 15, let's see if I can quote it, says this, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." This is a beautiful scripture, and it's got everything you need to know about praying the prayer of faith. All right? So, here we go. How do we get God to hear our prayer? Well, it says in here that if we pray according to his will, he hears us. So the way you get God to hear your prayer is to pray according to his will. And I know you're all asking, well, how do I know what God's will is? That's the next question. How do I determine God's will concerning something I desire? How would you know what God's will is? Study His Word. And an aid to studying His Word would be to use your concordance. A concordance is something that lists by subject different things in the Bible. For example, if you want to know about raising your children in scriptural fashion, you would look up children. And in there it would give you scriptures that cover children. One Bible help I like is Knave's Topical Bible, which is sort of like a concordance, with the exception that instead of just giving you a list of scriptures, it actually gives the list of scriptures and then the scripture written out right beside it, so that you can study right then without looking up the scriptures what it has to say about the topic you've looked up. So Knave's Topical Bible is a great help here. So the way you determine God's will concerning something you desire is to study His Word on that particular thing you desire. See what it says. Next question. How do I get faith for something I desire? Well, how does faith come? What does the Word tell us? Well, Romans 10:17 tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the way we get faith for something we desire is to go into His Word, find the promise that covers the thing that you desire, and then hear what it says. You can either hear it preached, or you can hear it read. In other words, by hear it read, I mean read it yourself. You hear it in your spirit when you read the Word. And so that's the way you do it. You need to know what God's Word has to say about the thing you desire. And then you meditate on God's Word. So that's how you get to faith for something you desire. You meditate on what God's Word has to say about the thing you desire. Next question. Once I have the faith for something I desire, I will be able to blank, blank, blank when I pray. What goes in those scriptures? Well, if you study our text, which is Mark 11:24, you would fill it in this way. Once I have the faith for something I desire, I will be able to believe I receive when I pray. So believe I receive goes in those blanks. And it's key to believe you receive when you pray. Next question. Why do you think hearing is in this verse twice? Now, I'm talking about the verse that we quoted above when I said, how do we get faith for something we desire? And that was Romans 10:17. Well, I believe it's in there twice to emphasize the fact that it needs to be heard more than once. In other words, hearing something from the Word of God quickly isn't usually enough to build faith in your heart. And so I believe in this verse, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God is trying to tell us here that we need to hear it deeply into our heart and get it into our heart. Hearing and hearing and hearing what the Word of God has to say about the specific situation that you're studying. You know, if it's raising your children or your marriage or something, then faith cometh for those things by hearing and hearing and hearing what the Word of God has to say about those subjects. So I believe that hearing is in this verse twice to emphasize the fact that it needs to be heard more than just quickly. Next question. Give another word for this hearing and hearing. Nice to give you a hint. Hint, it starts with M. Well, another word for this hearing and hearing might be to meditate on God's Word. That simply means to take a verse of Scripture and to just go over and over it and just roll it over and over and over in your mind and in your spirit until you get the meat out of what God is trying to say in this particular Scripture. Sometimes I'll do an interesting thing that I've started recently. I will, like I'm going through the Gospels right now, and I will take, today I did one on the remember the man that they carried into Jesus that had the palsy, and they had to break up the roof to get him in there. Well, that particular account is in three different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what I do is I'll go into my computer, and I'll create three columns, and I will put the entire account from each Gospel that covers this situation, just for this subject, the man on the cot, I call it, and put in parallel columns what each script, what each gospel has to say about this. And then you can see them together rather than leafing back and forth through your Bible. And it's really enlightening to see the total picture of what happens in some of these healings and things that Jesus did that's recounted more than once. You get so much more out of it. So I've been saving these things. I call them the parallel gospels. And I'll just have three columns or four columns if it's in all four gospels, or maybe two if it's only in two. But it gives me in parallel fashion everything the Word has to say about that particular instance. Well, that's a form of meditation then. You just take a scripture or an account of something in the Bible and you just keep rolling it over in your spirit and rolling it over. Some mornings I'll just have one verse that I go over and over and over, maybe take an hour or two, just meditating. Now, and thinking as you're doing this, what does the Word, what is God trying to tell me? Why is this in the Bible? How would I change my life based on what I see here? Is there anything in my life that this would apply to right now? And as you do these things, the Holy Spirit will begin to open up things in your life and show you how to apply this in your life. And it's very exciting when He does this. Next question. What is God's part in the prayer of faith as stated in Mark 11:24? Well, Mark 11:24 says, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. What is God's part? God's part is to bring the thing for which we've prayed into manifestation. In other words, to answer our prayer. That's God's part. What is our part? Well, what does it tell us in this verse? What things soever you desire. So we have to desire something. So number one, decide what you desire. Okay? What things soever you desire when you pray. So you've got to pray. The step two then is to pray. Decide what you want, what you desire. Number one is decide what you desire. Number two then is to pray. And the third thing is to believe that you receive when you pray. Right then, you've got to be able to believe that you receive when you pray. If you find that you're not able to believe that you receive when you pray, then stop, go back, and meditate those scriptures again until faith is there so that you can believe you receive when you pray. Next question, true or false? The key then is to choose a thing you desire that you can also believe you receive when you pray. That is absolute truth. That is the key. So the answer to this question is true. We shouldn't pray until we can blank, blank, blank. We shouldn't pray until we can, here it is again, believe we receive. If you find you can't do that, stop, go back, meditate the scripture again. Because folks, if it's important, something you really desire, and you want, and you're praying for something you desire, you need to have the faith before you pray. What's the point of just hurrying into a prayer and then not having it answered? And that damages our faith for our next prayer. We say, well, the last one I didn't get answered. Maybe this one won't be either. Folks, we ought to get answers to our prayer 100% of the time. And we will if we'll approach it the way this lesson is teaching us. Next question. True or false? 1 John 5:14 says that it is necessary to pray according to His will to receive a yes answer to what we ask. Is that true or false? That's absolutely true. That's what it says. This is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So that's true. Next question. Mark 11:24 says we must believe we receive when we pray. How can we do both of these at the same time? In other words, by both, I mean, how can we believe we receive when we pray and know that we're praying according to His will at the same time? How do we do this? The key, and this is something we all need to know, is to pray for things that are in accordance with God's will as revealed in His Word. I'll say that again. The way we do both of these at the same time, pray according to His will, so we'll get a yes answer, and also believe we receive when we pray, is to pray for things that are in accordance with God's revealed will as stated in His Word. Now, sometimes God can reveal His will directly to your spirit about something. For example, if you want to know whether we should move from one city to another,
you're not going to probably find that in the word specifically. You will find things like depart, leave, go, or stay, don't go, but it won't be in detail as far as the city that you might want to go to. Sometimes the Lord, in His mercy, will speak to us directly in our heart. But be careful and make sure it's the Lord. And if you want to know how to know it's the Lord, that's a whole subject in itself, and you might want to listen to the series that we have on God's guidance, which is, I believe, is in the first year of studies. So, the answer to this question, then, is to pray for things that are in accordance with God's revealed will as stated in His Word. Explain what you think 2 Corinthians 1:20 means. Well, let me just quote 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, all the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. So, if you're in Him, and you are if you're a Christian, all the promises of God for you are yes, so be it. So what does this scripture mean? It means that when we pray in line with the promise in God's Word, we know that God's answer will be yes. It's a very simple concept, but it's very profound as well. Key is to pray in line with the promise in God's Word and will receive a 100% yes answer every time. And folks, healing is always God's will. You can always pray in faith for healing if you've meditated on that promise. So it's in your heart. That faith for that is in your heart. Anything else you need that's promised in His Word, meditate in His Word till you get faith in your heart about that situation. And when you do that, that promise, you know then, based on 2 Corinthians 1:20, that you have a yes answer. And folks, knowing that you have a yes answer when you pray is the whole key to believing you receive when you pray. See how it works together? You can believe you receive when you pray, when you know you have a yes answer to what you've prayed, and you can know you have a yes answer to what you've prayed when you pray according to His promises as revealed in His Word. Next question. In other words, when we pray according to God's will, which is His blank, prayed in blank, the answer is always blank. Well, I think by now you ought to easily know what goes in those blanks. In other words, when we pray according to God's will, which is His Word, prayed in faith, the answer is always yes. Next question, true or false? It is possible to believe in a yes answer to our prayer without any doubt when we know that the one who has power to change things believes and desires the same things as we do. Is that true or false? That's true. Here's the whole key, folks. When we're praying according to God's revealed will and His Word, we know that we're praying for something to the person, the one who has the power to change things, bring the thing we've prayed to manifestation, and because it's a promise in His Word, we know that He believes and desires the same things as we do in this prayer. That's a wonderful confidence that we can have when we pray the way I'm describing in this lesson. So that's true. God's Word is God's Word is a will blank and a faith blank. Well, that wasn't in the lesson, but if you were listening closely, you might have been able to fill this in on your own. If not, here's what goes in these blanks. Now listen to this. God's Word is a will revealer. God's Word reveals His will. And a faith producer. See, God's Word reveals His will. And that Word is a faith producer. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by how? Hearing God's Word. So, you know, as I go along further and further in my Christian walk, I'm more and more impressed with the fact that God gave us this Word primarily to produce faith in our lives for the things that we need. It is a faith producer because faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. The purpose God gave His Word to us for, one of the main purposes is to produce faith in our heart to receive the things for which we need to live our life on this earth. So God's Word is a will revealer and a faith producer. True or false? It's okay to pray when we don't know God's will because we can always add, if it be thy will, at the end. Is that true or false? Well, I think you all ought to answer that false by now. I don't think anybody that's been in this lesson for these last couple lessons could answer true here. Unfortunately, many Christians, and this is a sad commentary on the state of many Christians' faith lives, is that they really believe this is true. They really believe that if we don't know God's will, just tack on, if it be thy will at the end, and that'll cover that situation. But folks, that's a faith destroyer. We have to believe that we receive when we pray. We cannot believe we receive when we pray if we're adding, if it be thy will, because that means we don't know God's will. We don't know if he's going to answer this prayer. And if we don't know if he's going to answer this prayer, we can't be praying in faith. So they're mutually exclusive, this praying, if it be thy will, and believing you receive when you pray. So that's false. Next question, true or false? Silent prayer is okay when my prayer might disturb others. That's false. Silent prayer is never okay. Now here we go. A lot of you out there are going, what? But it's true. I mean, we all do this silent prayer in churches and things where we bow our heads and pray silently. Folks, if we're not at least murmuring these things under our breath, I really question whether God hears this prayer, because nowhere in the Word of God, well, that's the next question. Let's go on. The answer to that question, though, is false. It's not okay. Why or why not? Well, number one, there's no example of silent prayer in Scripture that I've ever been able to find. It's always been out loud. Number two, God's word tells us that power resides in the spoken word. Like Mark 11:23, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt that what he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. All through that verse, it says with our mouth. Power resides in the spoken word. In fact, folks, if you didn't pray out loud, you didn't get saved. Did you know that? Because what does the word tell us we have to do to become saved? Romans 10:9-10 says that we have to believe in our heart God has raised Jesus from the dead and confess with our mouth that Jesus is now our Lord. You know, it says in there, God has it so clearly so we don't get it messed up and just say it in our mind when we try to get saved. He says, no, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. He didn't say to think it in your mind. He said to confess it with your mouth. All through the Bible, the power of words is brought out. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue of the wise is health. All these scriptures tell us that the power resides in the spoken word. So the second example of why silent prayer is not okay is power resides in the spoken word. In fact, if you go back and in Mark 11:23, the scripture I just quoted, where Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith, the thing which he saith shall come to pass. Jesus, before he said this scripture, said, have the faith of God. He invited each one of us to have the God kind of faith. And what is the God kind of faith? He just described it there. He said, speak unto those things, command those things to come into being. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that's the way God does things, and he invited us to do it too. When God created this world, he spoke it into existence. And we're created in God's image. And God wants us to operate the same way, he's telling us here. God said, light be, and there was light. And now he's inviting us to have the same kind of faith. Have the faith of God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So you've got to have faith. And how does faith come? By hearing what the word says. All these examples tell us that this is a spoken word that's powerful. And you know, another example is, I'm just thinking of it now, when Jesus went in the garden to pray, he invited his disciples to go with him, but they were tired, and so he said, well, stay here. And he went forward and prayed. And if you studied what he prayed, it's very clear. He prayed out loud, even though he was by himself. Folks, there's no example of silent prayer in the Bible, and so I don't recommend it for you either. I like to have the Bible behind me when I pray. And the last question, true or false? Thoughts are powerful things too. Is that true? Yes, it is. Why or why not? Why are thoughts powerful as well? Well, we just said words are powerful, but are thoughts powerful? Well, thoughts themselves have no power. Okay, now listen to me. But Jesus told us in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. So our thoughts, the things that are in our heart, the things that we think, the things that are down in our heart, are going to come out of our mouth, Jesus said. And James said, no man can tame the tongue. How do you tame your tongue? The way you tame your tongue is by controlling what's in your heart. Because, folks, out of the abundance of that heart, your mouth is going to eventually speak. And thoughts, then, are powerful in the sense that they control what we're thinking about. And the Word of God says that what we think about and what's in our heart will come out of our mouth. So even though thoughts themselves aren't powerful, they are a step on the way to voicing those thoughts, and then it does become powerful when those thoughts are voiced. So thoughts are powerful in the sense that they produce the things that we eventually speak, and the power is in the spoken words. But the spoken word is us giving voice to our thoughts, according to Matthew 12:34, that says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So if you want to change what you're speaking, you've got to change what's in your heart first. You can't just start speaking differently without placing something different in your heart. It's impossible. James said, no man can tame the tongue. You can't do it just by trying to change what you're saying. The only way you can really do it is to change what's in your heart. And then as you gradually get your mind renewed in the Word of God, then things that come out of your mouth will then be in line with the Word of God. And you'll be speaking words of faith instead of the world's words. And so that completes our lesson, our homework for this particular episode of the Prayer of Faith, Part 2.